Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Lovey and Rosé. Tonight, we will be having a special guest. Her name is Elizabeth. She's from the Down and 30 podcast, and we will be talking all things Enneagram. The Enneagram is a very popular personality test, and if you would like to know more, grab your wine and let's get into tonight's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lovey and Rosé. I'm your host, Kimberly, and tonight we will be talking all things Enneagram. I'm actually re-recording this intro part because we actually recorded this episode last weekend in the Poconos for Memorial Day weekend, and the sound quality was a little echoey. I don't know if it was just me and the mic or if it was just the room that we were in. But you guys, the Poconos was so beautiful. We were up by the lake. We sat on the lake for a couple of hours in the sun, and we just got to breathe in the nice fresh mountain air. We went on a nature walk. We even made nachos. You guys, I highly recommend if you live in PA, you have to take at least one weekend trip to the Poconos. So beautiful, so relaxing, but unfortunately, not the best for internet service and not the best for recording a podcast. But that is okay. We're here in my home now recording this intro again, so that it'll be a little bit more clear. Let's get into tonight's episode about the Enneagram. So what is the Enneagram? The Enneagram is actually a personality typing test that describes patterns and how people interpret the world and how they manage their emotions. Basically, what the Enneagram does is it explains to you, based on whatever number you type as, it explains to you what your core motivation is, what your core fear is, and what it is that drives you to do everything that you do in life. The Enneagram is also really good with explaining how you interact with others and how other people perceive you. So it's very good, like self-reflective and personal development tool. So there are 9 types, which we will get into later on in the episode with my friend Beth. And they think that the Enneagram, no one actually knows when it was officially created, but I think the most common belief is that it was created actually 4,500 years ago in Babylon, but it was mostly like made popular by the Greeks. So it is called the Enneagram, which is a Greek word, ennea meaning 9 for the 9 personality types, and gram being the diagram shape that they present to you when showing you pictures of the Enneagram. So like I said before, there are 9 types, and the shape is actually kind of interesting. It is kind of circular with lots of arrows. So it is broken up into 3 sections, you know, the heart, the mind, and the gut. And it also has like arrows of where each personality type goes in times of stress and in times of growth. So I'm a type 3, which is known as the achiever. And in times of stress, I can take on some of the negative qualities of another type called 9, which that negative quality would be like sloth. And then in the times of growth, I would take on a positive attributes of all of the 6s, which would be like the loyalist. So it's very in depth. It's very, you know, rabbit hole. There's also wings and subtypes, which I'm not going to get into that because I am not an Enneagram expert. I am just somebody who was very fascinated by it, and I felt like it really helped me in my self-reflection and in my self-growth and my personal development. So I felt like since I got so much use out of it, I wanted to share it with you guys and just make you aware, because I think I didn't even become aware of the Enneagram test until like, I want to say like maybe 2-3 years ago, and I was like mind blown, such a game changer. So yeah, I mean, even though it's not a new thing, I feel like it is not as popular as something as say like the Myers-Briggs. So again, like why would you even need to know what your Enneagram number is? Why would you care? Basically, it helps you understand why you behave the way that you do, what your motivations are, and helps you kind of get an idea of ways to improve yourself. So going into how we actually use the Enneagram, like now in everyday use, kind of, outside of like personal development and like becoming self-aware on like a personal level, it's very helpful in therapy sessions, and also it can be really helpful in the business world. If you can figure out your coworkers or your team members, if you can figure out like their personality type and, you know, what motivates them and what drives them and what their thought process is and how they perceive the world, it can actually help you work better as a team and help you figure out roles that best suit each person's personality type. Like, my personality type is known as the achiever, so we tend to like gravitate towards more leadership roles. I know that there's one type called the investigator, that's a type one. They are very, like, very rule oriented, and they do very well with like organizing and making sure that their structure is and that deadlines are met. By finding out what each person's strength is, it makes the team greater overall. So a lot of like business trips, team building exercises, therapy, all of that stuff, we'll use the Enneagram. I know it's often used in church. A lot of churches do use it, and I think they use it just for the same reason of trying to become self-aware, trying to see what your personal like struggles are and what your deep-rooted struggles are and how you can like move past that and move forward for like the greater good, essentially. I think it's like really good for like what they call emotional intelligence, like when you know your motivations and your fears and what drives you and how you will react to a certain situation ahead of time, you tend to make better choices in the moment. But yeah, so we're gonna take a brief break here, and we will get into the 9 types with my interview with Beth. So stay tuned. Our special guest. Her name is Beth. Say hi, Beth.
Hey, everyone.
She is the host of the Down and 30 podcast. So if you are not subscribed, do it now.
Leave a 5-star review. We love a 5-star.
We will be talking about the 9 types of the Enneagram tonight. And Beth, what type of Enneagram are you?
I am bringing the Big 8 energy. Big 8 energy over here.
And I am a type 3, so hopefully by the end of this episode, you will know what that means. But let's start with type 1. Type 1 is known as the reformer, and a type 1's motivation is to be good, to have integrity, and to be balanced. Some Disney characters that you guys might know that relate to the type 1 is Elsa from Frozen, and Steve Rogers, aka Captain America himself. So, Beth, how would you describe a type 1 if someone is out there and they're thinking, am I a type 1?
Well, so let me preface this. I'm not an Enneagram coach. I just do like a lot of self-research. But your type 1 friend is going to be, he or she's going to be the rule follower. They're going to be the one, they know the agenda. They set the agenda. They know what to expect. They keep everybody in line and track. And they're kind of like what you picture when you think of like a type A person. But there's a lot of like, there's an earnest quality to your type one. So they're not just following the rules to follow the rules, but they really do believe in what's right. And they really want to make sure that that's the energy that they're bringing forth. And so for that reason, that's why they're so hard and fast with the rule following. Their motivation, their core is, it's all good intention.
Type 2 is known to be called the helper, and their main motivation is to be loved and to feel accepted and to help people. And some Disney characters that might relate to that would be Anna from Frozen, Cinderella, and Snow White. So how would you type yourself if you were a type 2?
So your type 2 is going to be like the mother hen. That's your helper friend. That's the friend that's always anticipating your needs. She's bringing the snacks. She's got the dress with pockets. It's got the snacks in it. she's prepped. You need a helping hand. She's ready. She's anticipating your needs before you even know you have them. And it is my belief that to some extent, we all have some sort of like a two influence to us. I see a lot of two in almost everyone that I know. But your true twos, they're not just helping to help. Like that is truly their motivator. And they find their value in being beneficial or being a help to others. And that's what gives them their energy. But it's also what takes their energy too. So there's always gonna be a good and bad to each of these. But yeah, your two friend is gonna be that one that she's gonna take care of you. She's the mother hen.
I feel like the twos are also generally like the caretakers out in the world. So
their love language is very much gifts and acts of service.
Yeah, acts of service, definitely. All right, so type three, the one that I am, mm-hmm. is called the achiever. And their main motivation is to feel valuable and to be worthwhile. I think that, now we're not really going to get much into wings and subtypes because that's just a whole nother...
We'll dissect that.
It's a whole nother thing. But I am a three wing too. It's known as like the charmer. And I feel like threes, just from my own personal experience as a three, I feel like threes tend to be very success driven. They want to be the best at everything that they do. They really need like recognition and like to be valued for the things that they accomplish. Not so much who they are as a person, but for the things that they accomplish. Beth, how would you type a type three?
So a lot of times you're gonna hear three as the achiever, and your three is gonna be the one that is volunteering to present first in class.
Yes.
Their hand is the first to go up. Whether they have the right answers or not, you're not gonna tell them any differently. But they're the first, the hand is up, they are ready. They're volunteering to choreograph the routine for the school recital. They're very much that energy. And they do thrive on being the best. So they're your competitive friends. And they're the ones that they do. They like to up the ante a little bit. Would you say so?
I would say that like me personally and also some other threes that I know, we tend to like to be the example. I know one of the tell things about being a three is that they're usually the standard because we're so oriented on success and making sure we do things perfectly that like we do it the way that we would get the most praise. And so then people be like, do what they do. So we tend to be like the example, you know, best behaved, student of the month, employee of the month, all of the awards and gold stars, we want them all. All the 5-star podcast reviews, we literally want them all. And some threes, I feel like they can get like a bad rap sometimes. So, you know, you have your threes that are very much like Tiana from Princess and the Frog, where they're very like ambitious and they just want to reach their dreams and have the ultimate success. But then you have your toxic threes that give you very much Gaston from Beauty and the Beast and Lightning McQueen.
Self-centered
energy, vibes. Very flashy. You can get very flashy. I feel like I'm not so much flashy, but I have my flashy moments.
So. Like I said, there's positive. We're talking about people here. We're talking about people. So there's going to be positives and negatives to each. So we're not trying to like gas anybody up or bring anybody down. Like we're bringing you the realness here, the Enneagram realness.
All right. So type four, which is often referred to as the individualist, or you said the romanticist.
The romanticist.
They tend to be, you know, trying to find their own independence and trying to be unique. I think that one of the main driving motivations for Type 4 is to create their own identity. Think Luna Lovegood from the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. She's a very healthy 4. She's unique and she's very confident in herself where the bullying from other people doesn't even bother her. She's just like, I'm different. And I love it. And I'm me, and you will accept me for how I am. And I think that is great, positive, and, you know, healthy four energy. Beth, how would you describe someone's type four friend?
So your four friend is going to be your expressive, oftentimes artsy friend. They can be very creative. But yeah, your four is going to be your creative, sometimes dramatic friend. And we love theatrics from time to time, you know?
Keeps things interesting.
We do, you know? Someone's gotta do it.
So, type fives. I don't think I know a lot of the type fives, like, in real life. They're the investigators. Type fives are incredibly smart. Their main motivation in life is to be competent and just to like have all of the information that they need. A good example of a type five would be Sherlock Holmes or Albus Dumbledore. Another good one, which is not really obvious, is like Severus Snape. He's also a type five. All three of them like to have facts. They like to investigate and they like to know exactly all the details of the situation that they're going to walk into, and they're very calculated. Beth, how would you describe somebody's type five friend?
So your five friend is going to be very cerebral. They like to analyze things. They like to have all the information. They're very perceptive, you know, even to like small nuanced things like that. They're also, like Kim said, they're very bright. They're innovative. They're problem solvers. They can also be somewhat secretive and isolated. So that's your five. You're never going to outsmart a five. They may let you think you did, but you're never going to outsmart a five.
So I know a lot of type sixes, actually. They're known as the loyalists. Their main motivation is to have security and to have support. Although they're very loyal and protective of the ones that they love closely, they can have a lot of anxiety and like stress around security and making sure things are safe. So think of like Piglet from Winnie the Pooh. Piglet is very anxious, but also very supportive of his best friend, Pooh. A really healthy six would be like Mulan. She's very loyal and she's very motivated to protect her father at all costs. But at the same time, she does have that like fear and need to have security and support from those around her. Beth, how would you describe someone's type six friend?
I have a lot of type sixes in my life too. I do love me some six. There's some earnest here, and the thing I love about sixes is like they are so loyal. So they have this engaging dynamic to them, but then they also have this like self-destructive, self-critique vibe to them, and they really just want to like and be liked and just have that reciprocity, but they can get into their heads a little bit with that.
Yeah. So the next type is type seven. This is the type that I have mistyped as, because if you have to keep this in mind, people exhibit all nine types in their personality. Your main type is just going to be what your motivator is at your core. So I think a lot of my personality is very much type seven, which is why I kept getting mistyped as this. And they are called the enthusiasts. These types of personalities love to be like, their main drive is to be satisfied and content. They want to do everything that is fun, spontaneous. Anything that makes them feel fulfilled and happy is what they want to do. And some good like examples of type sevens would be like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. He's very like focused on having fun and having a good time, and that is his main goal. And another one would be like Aladdin. Although he gets himself into some reckless situations, his end game is to be satisfied and content with the life that he is living. Beth, how would you describe your type seven friend?
So your seven friend, they're going to be a lot of fun. They're always going to be up for something. They always want to do an adventure. You know, they're always going to be the first one to want to check out like a new spot, do that thing. Like everything's an adventure. And I got to plug the sevens quickly. So like I celebrate every little individual thing, and that's very much seven energy. Very fun, loving, spontaneous, and we love that about our sevens.
But at the end of the day, like we said before, it's what drives your decision making and how you deal with stress. That's what makes you your core number. And I think the main thing to take from sevens is although they're spontaneous and they like to have fun, their main drive is to be happy with their choices in life and for their life to be self-fulfilling. And now to type 8, which is Beth, our lovely guest. They are called the Challenger. I actually know a lot of 8s in my life. And their core drive, basically, is to protect themselves and to be in control of their own life. They don't like to be told, you know, what to do by other people. They want to be in charge of their destiny. They want to be in charge of their own day-to-day life. You can think of some good examples would be Merida from Brave. She doesn't want to conform to her role as a princess. She wants to do her life on her terms. Same thing with Jasmine from Aladdin. Again, it's the same, like, I want to live my life on my terms. And another good one, for at least for the confrontational aspect, is Lilo from Lilo and Stitch. She will never back down from a fight. Beth, please.
I love that.
Explain to us type 8s.
Listen, there's a lot I can unpack with 8s, but one of my favorite things about 8s, and not just because I am an 8, but the energy we bring is, it's very much just like confident. And like Kim said, it's not so much that we want to control anyone around us, but we want to make sure that we're not being controlled. And the cool thing I think is so great to understand about 8s is that we don't just want that for ourselves, we want that for those around us. So we're very much like, we're the first to fight the signs of oppression. We are the first to jump in when someone's being mistreated. We're the first to tell a bully to fuck off. Like, we are that person. Like, as much as I don't want to be controlled, I can't stand seeing it in someone else either. So I'm very much that friend. I'm bringing that energy. I'm empowering. But we are confrontational. Like, if we're out of the club, I will anticipate somebody's next move. Like, I will know their agenda before they know their agenda. You're not going to step to my friend on some slick shit without me getting involved. I will shut it down before you even knew you were going to start some trouble. Like, very much, you don't want zero problems, big fella energy. And that's the 8s. And 8s can be angry. And every person can be angry, but like 8s can be considered like the angry Enneagram type. But we're just very expressive with our emotions. And if something is not a great situation, then yeah, I'll be angry. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I love that.
We love our 8s.
We love our 8s.
And last but certainly not least is 9. They are the peacemakers.
I love my 9.
I am obsessed with type 9. They are so sweet. Their main, like, drive and motivator in life is to have inner stability. They want to have peace of mind. They want to go to sleep at night without any regrets, without any guilt. They just want to live a happy and relaxed life. They tend to be laid back. And I feel like 9s tend to be really wise. Like, 5s are smart, like, book smart-wise, very Tony Stark, you know, Sherlock Holmes, but like 9s are very wise. And some good examples, I'm using all Disney references, guys. The good examples of them is like Rafiki from The Lion King. Gosh, I just blanked. Baloo from The Jungle Book, and Mater from Cars. They all value the simple life and just being around the people that they love and being happy. And I think that that's like so sweet. And I love 9s.
I love 9s.
They're so cute.
So I love 9s so much. And the nice thing about 9s is like they really do value like peace. So your 9 friends are going to be the ones, like, when there's like a group argument or something, they're going to see both sides of it. They're going to mediate, because the greater good for them is the peace, is the harmony. They're going to be very much the ones to like keep that kumbaya. And like Kim said, like, they really just want to preserve their energy. It's not, you know, sometimes 9s can get this kind of like flack, like, I've seen a lot of stereotypes almost depicting them as lazy, but that's not it. They're just very wise with their energy.
Yeah.
And I think that that's such a great quality. And I'm biased because, again, I'm an 8. I'm heavily influenced by my 9. So I get it. I love it. But there's such a calming air to your 9s. And I love it. And they're fun, too. They are. They're fun.
Yeah. So those are the 9 types that are, like, your main types. And kind of like what we mentioned before, you can have wings. So I'm a 3-wing 2, meaning that my main personality type is a type 3, but I have heavy influence from 2s, which is the helper, which makes sense because I do work in healthcare. I do work in a nursing setting, and I love to help people, and but I also want to be the best. So it makes sense that I would have that. And so you do have to take that into consideration. And then you can go down the rabbit hole even deeper and get into, like, subtypes, but we're not going to go into that so much.
But then there's also, like, where do you go in stress? Where do you go in growth?
Right.
What attributes do you take on when you're at your healthiest?
Yeah.
There's so much to unpack here. So if you haven't seen the Enneagram actual diagram, so what it is it's a circle. So all 9 numbers are interconnected. The whole theory about the Enneagram is this interconnectedness. Like we all, like Kim said, we all have some of these attributes. It's just some of us are going to show more of this than others, and some of us are going to show more of that than others. But there's also this triangle situation, and it'll show you, you know, so I'm an 8, for instance, I'm a challenger, and that's my core. And when I'm really, really healthy, when I'm at my best and I'm using my 8s to the best of my ability, I can look a lot like a 2, someone who's using my powers for the greater good. When I am not my best, I can take on some of the negative attributes of a 5, and not saying 5 is negative, but I can take on some of that secretive, reclusive, I don't want anyone around me, I'm protecting my energy type of thing. And there's this dance that goes along with all the numbers, and it's so intricate, and you don't need to go that deep to understanding it. But if you take some of these highlights, some of these synopses that we've provided, it can really help you to understand yourself and the people around you. And I love that.
I think that, like, knowing your Enneagram type and then looking at the chart, like Beth said, to see where you go during stress and looking at those traits can be very helpful. I know personally for me as a type 3, when we are in heavy stress and we are at our most unhealthy, we tend to be very, like, aloof, and we just tend to just, like, sit there and let life pass us by, which if you're a 3, that is, like, so bad considering your main drive and your main sense of, like, value and worth is based on how much you succeed and how much you accomplish. So when I find myself feeling that way, I realize that there are some habits going on in my life that may not be the healthiest. And I can recognize that because I know what happens to me when I'm under a lot of stress. And then I can say, okay, what can we do to get ourselves back into a healthy place where we can feel more fulfilled? And I think that's, like, the main purpose of the Enneagram in general, is just helping you understand how you view the world, how you find, like, a sense of, like, self-fulfillment, and knowing how stress and other stressors out in the world affect you and how that's going to show up in your personality. And I think also, like, I think Beth, you would agree that this is good as far as, like, your relationships with others. Like, people respond to certain conflicts or respond to certain things in their lives. You understand why they are responding the way that they are because you understand what their core motivation is in all of their decision making, if that makes sense.
It does, and it has really changed my intrapersonal skills with myself. I understand myself a lot better, but it really has changed my interpersonal skills. Knowing what type someone is and knowing what their motivators are and you know, those things that are important to them, it helps me to recognize where someone's coming from and what's important to them. And so much of, you know, what happens between people can be misconstrued. So when you understand, okay, at their core, I know that this person values X, Y, or Z, it really can help you to take a step back, and it's a very humbling experience. And again, I think it's important to stress that no number is good and no number is bad. These are human beings. It's a human psyche we're talking about. So there's going to be great and not so great qualities of each. We're talking about pretty much personality traits here. So when we talk about things like healthy or unhealthy, it's not that one number is healthy and one number is not. It's that there are certain traits that, you know, a 3 or an 8 is going to more so exhibit, and other numbers might take those on when they have other things going on. So you do not, again, need to be well-versed in all of this, but it's very helpful, like I said, to understand where people are coming from. It's insightful.
It's such a fun rabbit hole to go down to.
Oh my God,
especially if you're like us and you're very into like being self-aware. And I don't know, this might be the three in me, but I care a lot about how others perceive me. And so I try to look at myself objectively. And I feel like the Enneagram helps you with that. When you are self-aware and when you know what motivates you and you know what drives you, it helps you make better decisions when you react to certain situations, I think.
And it's really nice, like, it is humbling. And like Kim said, like, you do confront some of these traits about yourself that maybe aren't so great or maybe that you don't love so much, but it also makes you realize your strengths too. And I know that one of the things I'm really, really good at is, and not in a negative way, but confrontation. I am willing to address the situation head on, and sometimes I don't always feel so secure in that. So knowing that that is a strength of mine and I can be empowered by that, I am more successful at, you know, speaking up and advocating for what it is that I want or what I need, and just living a more authentic life in the ways that are important to me.
So basically, in a nutshell, the Enneagram is a great tool to help you become more self-aware, to do more personal development, and overall just help you understand your relationship with yourself, your relationship with other people, and how you react to life, situations, and stress. I don't know, Beth. Do you have any final thoughts? Take us out.
I think we did a really great job of giving a good synopsis and, you know, basic level understanding of the Enneagram types and what to expect. But if you would like to know more, and I'll add a shameless plug here, we're going to do a series on my podcast. Again, it's the Down and 30 podcast. We're going to do a series. We're going to break down the types. We're going to start with the great eight, of course. We wouldn't want to start with eight. And we're going to break it down a little bit. But I think we did a really good job.
I'm going to link Beth's podcast in my description as well, just so that you guys can go check it out. Over there, she will be talking about each type in more detail. So if you heard something and you were like, that is definitely me, I want to know more, tune into her podcast. If you're still not sure what type you are based on our little brief synopsis, again, check out Beth's podcast. That's very helpful. You can also check out the test online, and know that a lot of people use the Myers-Briggs, but I feel like Enneagram breaks it down just a little bit more in a way that's easier for people to understand. I think 9 personalities is a lot easier to break down than 16. but with all that being said, I think that's going to be it for tonight's episode of La Vie en Rosé. We have tackled half of a bottle of wine. I have moved on to a white Zinfandel because I'm more of a rosé girl. I'm not here for the red. But that's why this podcast is called La Vie en Rosé. So thanks again, guys, for tuning in to episode 3. Make sure you tune in next week at 8 p.m. Friday, where we will be talking about our next topic. And stay tuned to my Instagram if you're not following me already, Kimmy_XO, and we will be posting a poll on there for next week's questionnaire. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.